Hi, everybody. My name is David Capes, and I am the director of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. It is my great honor to have this position. Now, I'm not a librarian. I am an academic. That's important for you to know, because we have a number of librarians here, altogether 125 years of library experience on our staff, and I happen to be the one privileged to be able to lead that group. Hey, welcome to a special edition of The Stone Chapel, a podcast of the friends and the staff of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. My name is David Capes. I am the director. And this is a special edition because, well, it's just me this time. And it's also special because, well, it's near the holidays. And so I want to do some short, because I know you're very, very busy. And I also want to do some that I think might be meaningful to you. I don't know. Hope it is. I remember my fourth grade teacher. She was Mrs. Potts. She was a language arts teacher. I think that would be what they would call her today. And about this time every year, I remember her opening a vein when anybody wrote the word Xmas instead of Christmas, the full word, right? Now, even in those days, she felt like that there was a war on Christmas and that people who abbreviated the name of the holiday were trying to somehow take Christ out of Christmas. I suppose that's true for some people. I remember one of my favorite songs around Christmas time was written by John Lennon and Yoko Ono. It's entitled Happy Xmas, and the subtitle is War is Over. It was a protest song. They recorded it in 1971 after the Beatles had broken up. But that word Xmas was sort of blazoned on my mind. But I didn't know it by that title. I knew it by the words of the song itself.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas.
Well, I don't know exactly who named the song Happy Xmas, but I don't think it had to do anything with what I'm getting ready to tell you. Now, when you look into the real story of Xmas, you realize that something else is completely at work. It's not trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Now, that story begins, actually, with the Ten Commandments. One of those commandments says, "Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now, the word Lord, I should make sure that you know, is not the name, but it was a very respectful translation or a substitute for the name. In Hebrew, the name is actually four letters, Yod, He, Vav, He. And the technical term for that name is the Tetragrammaton, literally four letters. Now, Jews don't say the name because of respect for the name, and scholars today think the name may have been pronounced when it was pronounced, as in Yahweh or maybe Yahweh, but we aren't sure. Now, this was the covenant name of God, the name revealed to Moses and Israel at Mount Sinai, a very common name. And in fact, that name occurs over 6,000 times in the Old Testament because it's the name of God. So that's what starts with that. Do not take the name of the Lord, who is your God, in vain. Now, under the influence of this commandment about misusing God's name, faithful Jews began speaking it less and less. By the time of Jesus, speaking the name was considered blasphemous in almost every circumstance. The rabbis made their mark in part by building a fence about the law. So if you never spoke God's name, if you never said it out loud, you could never be guilty of taking the name in vain. It was a way of safeguarding the name, and I applaud them for that. Even when reading scripture in a synagogue, as important as that was, they didn't speak the name. A substitute word was used. In Aramaic-speaking synagogues, when they came to that name, again 6,000 times, the readers would say, Adonai, which is another way of saying Lord, but not the name. In Greek-speaking synagogues, they said Kurios. Both words, Adonai and Kurios, mean something like Lord or Master, but they aren't the name exactly. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls give us some really interesting evidence for not just how these things were spoken, but how they were written in the centuries leading up to the New Testament period. In many of the biblical scrolls, the name of God is written in Paleo-Hebrew script. That would be sort of like, you know, you're typing along in your word processor and you're in Times New Roman or you're in Calibri or something, and then when you wrote God's name, you would shift to maybe a Gothic font, something big and bold and that looks sort of ancient, right? That's the way it would be. In other scrolls, the name was not written at all, but it was represented by four thick dots written at the center of the line. That was one way of representing the name. In still other scrolls, where the name of God should be there, there's a blank in the line, just large enough for you to write the four letters. Now, scholars theorize about that, and they wonder about that, and they say, well, why is that blank there? Well, it was left probably by a junior scribe who didn't have the authority to write the divine name, or who didn't write it without being under supervision of a more senior scribe. Maybe after he left the blank, then the senior scholar would have come back in a bit later and have written the name because he had permission to do so. Where there's the blank in a line, though, we should probably imagine that the senior scholar never got back around to writing the divine name in the blank. Now, these are just some of the ways in which the faithful Jews showed respect for the name of God, the name of God that was protected by the commandment, "You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now, remember that early Christianity began as a reform movement within Judaism. Jesus was a Jew. His first disciples were Jews. His earliest followers were all Jews. And so early Jews developed their own way of signaling respect for names and titles, those associated with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't know so much about how it was said, but we know, because we have lots of evidence for it, about how they were copied, copying the New Testament books, and even copying other religious literature, Christian literature. They often would abbreviate the name. One pattern was to take the first letter of a word and the last letter of the word and place a line above those letters. Another pattern was to put the first and second letter of a word and put a line over the top, but you would definitely abbreviate them at that point. You get the idea? Now, scholars refer to these practices, this habit that scribes had, as nomina sacra. It's a Latin phrase meaning sacred names. Copyists continued that same way of writing sacred names all the way down to the present. It's common practice still among artists who create icons that are used in many of the Eastern churches. Now, a lot of the names and titles are written this way, including God, Father, Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, Christ, Lord, Holy Spirit, and there were still others. But for our purposes, though, note the nominum sacrum for Christ. It was written, and it would look like, if you were to see it, in a Greek manuscript from the time, XC. Now remember, these are letters from the Greek alphabet, not our Latin language, okay? It's not X as in the 24th letter of the English alphabet, but the Greek letter chi, the 22nd letter of the Greek alphabet, and the very first letter of the title Christ. So whenever Jesus is called the Christ or the Messiah, it would begin with the letter X, or the letter, literally, chi. Now, earliest versions of writing Christmas as, quote, Xmas in English go all the way back to the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles, about 1100 AD. That predates the rise of secularism by over 600 years. The Oxford English Dictionary cites the use of Chi, or X for Christ, as early as 1485. There's one manuscript in 1551 where the word Christmas is written X, or Chi, T-E-M-M-A-S, Christmas. English writers such as Lord Byron and Samuel Coleridge and Lewis Carroll, you know, the one who wrote the Alice in Wonderland, used the spelling that we're familiar with today, Xmas, or I should say, I guess, Chymas. The origin of Chymas does not lie in secularists who are trying to take Christ out of Christmas, but in ancient scribal habits adopted to safeguard the divine name and signal respect for it. The Chi in Chymas is not the English letter X, as in X marks the spot, but it is the initial Greek letter Chi, the first letter of the title Christ. No doubt some people today use it as abbreviated form to disregard the Christian focus of the Holy Day, but the background of it tells a different story altogether. It's a story of faithful men and faithful women showing the deep respect they have for Jesus at this time of year. Well, Merry Christmas. Or should I say, Merry Chymas. If you learned too much today in the podcast, there is one guaranteed cure, and that is to share it with a friend. It'll take the pressure off the brain, okay? If you've never visited the amazing Lanier Theological Library, make plans to do it soon. We are growing, we're expanding, we've got a new presence over in Oxford, England. This is a place of solace and discovery. If you have comments for us or questions or just want to be in touch, contact us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. And thanks to all those who make this podcast possible. You know who you are. Until next week, thanks for listening.